the message be blessed. Hebrews chapter 1, starting in verse 1, we'll read the first 8 verses. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, Let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. We'll end our reading there.
On page 1.
Worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing His power and His love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Oh, tell of His might, oh, sing of His grace, whose robe is the light, whose canopy space. His chariots of wrath the deep thunder clouds form, and dark is His path on the wings of the storm. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend.
460.
What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. To walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. trusting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Tonight's message, we're going to talk about, I pray the Lord blesses. We talk about Christ's preeminence, His preeminence in all things, and how often we need to be reminded. But if we can see again tonight His preeminence in salvation, He's the Alpha, the Omega, His preeminence in salvation from the covenant with God the Father, with the Holy Spirit, to His electing, saving love, to His sacrifice, to His calling, to His bringing us to glory and redeeming us, mind, soul, and body. If we can see His preeminence there, my soul has some peace. And then maybe we can see His preeminence in our day-to-day. And if I can see His preeminence, whether I can see it or not, He is preeminent. He is preeminent in our day-to-day in this earth. He has charge over His angels. He has control both in earth and in heaven. If I can see His preeminence in my day-to-day, then maybe, when I'm exhausted, if I can see His preeminence, I can see that through Christ, then I'll think to myself, yeah, our work here is never done. Our work here is never done. The laundry piles up. our work is never done. When I'm exhausted, then I can see, I can take comfort in the fact, but His work is done. If I can see His preeminence in our day to day, when I see injustice, the what is unfair in this world that burdens my heart, I say, but He is just. And He's just to forgive sinners by Christ's sacrifice. If I can see His preeminence one more time, then my soul will have some peace. And that's what I hope for us to see this evening here in Philippians. Let's look at the chapter 4, the first 8 verses. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yellow folk, yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. Paul starts this chapter with the word therefore. Therefore. And in this chapter, we're given seven instructions. Seven instructions. And together, they're really all one instruction. I'm going to give this instruction, if you'll bear with me, I'm going to give this one instruction, if you will, the seven condensed down into one. I'm going to give it in two ways. So bear with me the way I say it first. It'll make better sense the way I say it the second way. These seven instructions are summarized in this. Put Christ first. Put Christ first. First in our thought, first in our walk, first in our motive. In all things, put Christ first. And not only first in order of importance, if you will. You know, I have Christ, I have my family, I have my job, I have my hobbies. Not just first in order of importance, but rather make sure that Christ is of greater importance than all those other things all put together. Preeminent. And we are to strive. We are to strive to put Christ first in our life. We're to strive against sin. But if all I hear from that, if all I hear is with this ear in my sinful flesh, if that's all I hear, is that I need to put Christ first in my life. And that's true. But rather what Paul is saying here is that Christ is first. He is first. And we're met here together, you know, not so that we can walk away with a list of things that we should do, but rather we meet together based on the promise that we're two or three to gathered. Christ is in the midst. Christ is in the midst of them. We gather and we pray to see, we pray that we're given eyes to see and a heart to believe that Christ is first. I want to see that with eyes of Christ is first. Not that I need to put him there or that I possibly could, but rather that he is first. He is first and of greater importance than all those other things combined. Look across the page there at Colossians chapter 1 in verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, that among all, he might have the preeminence. The preeminence. Not that Christ might have the prominence, if you will, and I'm not splitting hairs and getting into a vocabulary lesson, but that he might have the preeminence, not an important place. That's prominence, but the preeminence, because it's all for him. Look again there in Colossians, up a couple verses in verse 16. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things. By him all things consist. And again, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Why? For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 21. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Christ is first. Christ is preeminent. Christ is Alpha and Omega. And that's true. And this is what I needed for myself. That's true whether I see that or not. That's true whether the world sees this or not. I watch the Baseball Hall of Fame inductions all the time. I follow the balloting and whatnot. Some of those folks that were involved in the steroid scandal, not only are they not getting in, they're wiping their name off the record books as if they never even existed. And you drive across town and you go to work, and we do what we do every day, and it feels that this creation has done that with our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only not preeminent, not prominent, but just not even there. Just not acknowledged. And worse than not acknowledged, hated. Hated. Just wiped off the books. But that's not so. Regardless of what we see, that's not so. He is preeminent. He does have the place of preeminence. It's a place given to him by his Father. I don't want to... Paul's not saying here in put Christ first in our lives. Rather, he's saying Christ is first. And Paul exhorts us to live that daily. And again, my prayer is that God gives us eyes to see that and believe. Paul starts here, chapter 4, with the word therefore. Because of what he said in the first three chapters, he's going to give us seven reminders based on what has been said in the first three chapters. So what's Paul written so far? If you'll turn back with me into chapter 1 here in Philippians, I'll just touch on six verses through the first three chapters that is Paul's basis for saying, therefore, because Christ is preeminent, therefore, here's some needful reminders. Chapter 1, verse 6, Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The foundation, a building block for what Paul's getting ready to say in chapter 4, is that salvation is of the Lord from beginning to end. Salvation is of the Lord. He that begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. Still there in chapter 1, look at verse 12. Christ is preeminent in the furtherance of the gospel. Paul says, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Christ is preeminent in salvation. Christ is preeminent in the furtherance of the gospel. Look here in chapter 2 in verse 9. Christ is preeminent in name. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Christ is preeminent in name. Chapter 3, look in verse 3. Christ is the preeminent object of our praise. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. Christ is the preeminent object of our praise. Down further in the chapter, look in verse 9. Christ is preeminent as our righteousness. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Preeminent as our righteousness. And finally, later on in verse 3 there, in chapter 3 in verse 21, Christ is preeminent in glory, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. He's preeminent. Because he, Paul says, therefore, because he is preeminent in salvation and because he is preeminent in the furtherance of the gospel, because Christ is preeminent in name, because Christ is preeminent as our righteousness, Christ our righteousness, because Christ is preeminent, is the preeminent object of our praise, because Christ is preeminent in glory, because Christ is first, he is all and in all. Therefore, Paul says in verse 1, therefore, stand fast in the Lord. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Stand fast. Stand fast in Christ's blood, Christ's word, Christ our all, Christ the Alpha, the Omega. Salvation is of the Lord. His blood fully satisfied the demands of God the Father. Fully. Christ said from the cross that it is finished. We stand fast right there. There's no graduating from that. Everything else in our lives, right? We go on to the next thing. We don't graduate from right there. We're brought back to that. We're brought back to the salvation is of the Lord. Christ is preeminent. We stay right there. Staying fast in the Lord. There's no graduating beyond Christ's blood. The same message that our children hear in those classes, the same message that our children hear is the exact same message that the chief of sinners needs to hear. It's the same message. You stand fast in the Lord, his blood. Same message that those kids will hear in this upcoming Bible school. Exact same message that I need to hear every time we come. It's that it's all of Christ. Christ's blood, Christ's work, Christ's sacrifice. Christ, Christ, Christ. He is preeminent so that we see nothing else. Christ. In every message. Again, we don't graduate. Christ's holy and just sacrifice on the cross, that's always been the sinner's hope. The same message that Paul declared is the same message that we hear and need here today. It's the same message that will be needed until Christ comes. Same message I pray that my children hear from this pulpit years from now. There's only ever been one covenant. There's one covenant between the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. That covenant was made before the world was or time were ever created. That hasn't changed. Christ has the preeminence. It stands, and that will always stand. Christ is the message for lost sinners, and Christ is the message to comfort saints. Stand fast in the Lord, Paul says. Stand fast in the Lord. Flip over to Hebrews with me, chapter 10. Paul says, stand fast in the Lord. Chapter 10 and verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. Once. Once for all. Once for all of his people. And also once for all time. Look down in verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. We stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord, Paul says. Here in verses 2 and 3. I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help these women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Paul says, stand fast in the Lord. Next, he says, be of the same mind. Be of the same mind and encourage each other to be of the same mind. Be of the same mind that Christ is preeminent. He's the preeminent aspect of our relationship with each other, right? I think of my children. Their preeminent relationship is the fact that they're brother and sister to their parents, right? Their preeminent relationship is who their parents are, their siblings. Our preeminent relationship with each other is the fact that we're siblings. We're siblings under Christ. We keep that as our preeminent relationship. That's how it is with us. Our preeminent relationship with each other is as brothers and sisters in Christ. We're to be of the same mind. The same mind in the seeing that Christ is our preeminent in our relationship with each other, and we're to encourage our brethren to do the same. We do that when we speak of Christ to each other. We pray for one another. We worship together as we are here tonight. All with the same mind. Be of the same mind that Christ be glorified. That Christ is preeminent. We don't let the littlest thing block our view of that. I was reading today that there 1.3 million Earths could fit into the sun. The sun's big, right? But you hold your thumb just like that. And as big as that thumb is, you can't see a thing past that little old thumb. We don't let something little get between us and our view of Christ. Get that out of the way. Even if it's big to us. Even if it's big to us. And it might be. But if it's not Christ, we get that out of the way because Christ is preeminent. It's preeminent here in our worship together. It's our preeminent relationship among ourselves. That's good and that's meat for us. And more importantly, because Christ is worthy of that preeminence. That's just little. We're not to let anything obscure that glory of Christ between us and worship. We're not to let anything obscure the glory of Christ for ourselves either. I pray frequently. You hear that from the pulpit. Frequently you hear people saying, remove the thoughts and cares of this world. That they don't blot out Christ right here. Or I'm making the assumption that you all are like me. Or I'll think to myself, which is a true statement, I'm not even worthy to come before the throne of the Lord. I'm not even worthy to pray. I'm not worthy, which is a true statement. But that's not what our focus is on. We put our focus on Christ, not our worthiness or lack thereof. We put our focus on Christ because he is preeminent. We're to be of the same mind. Christ is preeminent. Here in verse 4, look, it says, rejoice, rejoice in the Lord always. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. And we can rejoice because Christ does not change. Our happiness changes. My feelings certainly change. But Christ does not change. His blood is our sacrifice and it's our pardon once for all. And we go back and we see again Christ's preeminence and salvation and we're comforted. And then we can rejoice in the Lord. Always. There are no new charges. There's no new charges. Once for all, and as we read in Hebrews, once forever. There's no new charges brought to our account. Christ has paid them all once for all. We see Christ again in his preeminence in our worship. Therefore, we can rejoice in the Lord always because his grace is sufficient. That hasn't changed. And when we're up and life is easy and life is good and life is exciting, we rejoice in the Lord. We rejoice in the Lord. These can be some of our most dangerous times when the sailing is smooth. Because when we're strong, our flesh tells us you're strong. And our sinful flesh listens to that voice and eats it up. It says, yeah, we're strong. But scriptures say even in our best state, we're altogether vanity. And that vanity grabs a hold of that when the waters are smooth. And the sailing is smooth, our vanity grabs a hold of that and says, yep, I'm strong. And we forget the very Lord that gave us that strength. That's some of our most dangerous times. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Sometimes the smooth waters are the most dangerous ones. We rejoice in the smooth waters, but we rejoice in the Lord, in the Lord. When the Lord brings us through the valley, and trials are real, Paul's not for a minute saying to ignore the trial or pretend that they're not real. Not for a minute. Trials are real. When we're up, we rejoice in the Lord. And when the Lord brings us through the valley, we rejoice in the Lord. When we're broken, when everything changes, when our bodies fail, when our jobs fail, if our families fail, I'm pushing 50 in all the midlife crises. When our dreams fail, that's what we see. When all things fail, Christ is preeminent. Christ hasn't changed, not a bit. When we're broken, we rejoice in the Lord. When the waters are smooth, we rejoice in the Lord. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. It's only right. He's earned it. We rejoice in the Lord. Paul's calling us to remembrance of that. Rejoice in the Lord always. It's easier to do when we see him in the preeminence. We're not called to understand the trial. I struggle with that. We're not called to understand the trial. We're called to rejoice in it. Rejoice in the trial. Look over at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. It never fails. And I don't think I'm just speaking for myself, because I believe Peter did the same thing. When the waters are choppy and you start to sink, and Peter felt like, has Christ abandoned me? But that's not so. 1 Peter chapter 1, here in verses 6 and 7. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. We're to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Fourth, Paul says there in verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Moderation. Moderation is having the right balance, right? Not eating enough, but not too much. Drinking a little wine can be good. Too much is bad. Moderation is having the right balance, correct? Christ is our life. Our pastor preached a few weeks ago. Christ, our life. Christ, our life. The right balance is to see Christ, the preeminence of our life, Christ, our life. That's the right balance. That's our moderation. Christ, our life. That's the right balance. And the right balance, the right balance in our lives is extreme. It's not a mix of Christ and anything else. The correct moderation is all Christ. When I see that salvation is all of the Lord and none of me, that's the right balance. All of the Lord, Christ's preeminence. When I see that all glory rightly and justly belongs to the Lord, all glory, that's the right balance. All Christ is the right balance. When I hear that none are righteous, no, not one, not one, that's the right balance. When I see that all things were created by Christ and for Christ, all things, that's the right balance. When I hear Christ say, all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. That's the right balance. That's the correct moderation. When I hear that God is completely sovereign in earth and in heaven, completely just, completely merciful, and completely satisfied with Christ's sacrifice alone, completely, that's the right balance. When I hear Christ say from the cross, it is finished. Not mostly done. Not okay. It is finished. It's complete. That's the right balance. Look again over in Colossians chapter 3. Chapter 3 in verse 11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. That's the right balance. Christ is preeminent. Christ is all and in all. Let your moderation be known to all, that Christ is all. Christ is preeminent. Paul says, be careful for nothing in verse 6. Be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Do you know that the Bible instructs us to not be afraid over 500 times? Over 500 times this book says, don't be afraid. So that must be something we're prone to. Don't be afraid. We are prone to. We're not to be consumed by care for things in this world. We care. Of course we do, and it's right that we do. We're not to be consumed by it. Paul isn't telling us to be reckless when he says be careful for nothing. Of course he's not at all. Paul's telling us that the burden is not on us. If you will, be careful for nothing. Be weighted down with nothing. That doesn't mean don't care. Doesn't mean be flippant. Doesn't mean be stoic about things or cold. Act that they don't matter. They do matter. Burdens matter. Paul is once again telling us to have the correct moderation. Be in right moderation. Be careful for nothing. Christ is preeminent. Since Christ is preeminent and God is in control, what does the rest of the verse there say? Be careful for nothing. Since Christ is preeminent and Christ is in control, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, when I'm most anxious is when I find myself in a situation where there's absolutely nothing I can do to affect the outcome in any way. I can't steer the outcome any which way. I can't help, I can't hurt, I can't do anything. I'm completely helpless. And that's, we're always that way. But it's when I realize that, that's when I find myself being anxious. And I was talking to Wayne before we came in here. I'm anxious here. Who stands here can't, we can declare the word, can't make the Spirit bless that to our hearts, can't make it grow. We can't any more than planting a seed in the ground can make that seed grow. We're helpless. That's when I'm most anxious is when I'm just completely helpless. I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to pray for sometimes. And I foolishly, and I share this because I think there's a chance maybe I'm talking to somebody else who does this too. I think to myself, what I need to have is the whole outline planned. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take that outline in my prayer to God. I'm going to have everything outlined so that I can do, this is how I want things to go. I've got a plan, and I'm going to share my plan with God. Too often my prayers are that way. How foolish is that? Me explaining my outline. Goodness gracious. That's not how we pray. Paul says, be anxious for nothing. Be careful for nothing. In all things, prayer and supplication, you bring that before the Lord. Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. Speaking to myself, don't be anxious. We bring that before our Lord. And my advice is that we pray honestly. We pray honestly. If you will, and forgive me, I don't mean this to sound glib or flippant, but bear with me. If you will, the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? That's the way we pray, with real words from the heart, and sometimes not even words, sometimes just groans. And Paul says, be careful for nothing, and everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Paul encourages us to not be anxious, but to pour out our hearts before our Lord, knowing that he is preeminent, and that he is all-powerful, and that he is good, and that he is merciful. Knowing that, we be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let our requests be known unto God. And what's the very next verse say? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Peace, peace. We don't seek peace. We seek Christ, who is our peace. We seek Christ. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, on the authority of the book right here. And finally, you look here at verse 8 with me. Because Christ is preeminent, because Christ is our life, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. Think on Christ. Christ the preeminence. Not here. Not here, right? Not letting anything block our view of Christ. Christ our preeminence. Paul says, because Christ is preeminent, because Christ is our life, we stand fast in the Lord. We be of the same mind, we encourage each other to be of the same mind, that Christ is preeminent. We rejoice. We rejoice in the Lord. We let our moderation be known unto all. The right balance is that Christ is preeminent. We be careful for nothing, but we let our requests be made known unto our God. And finally, we think on these things. I pray that blesses.
Stand and sing 236. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing.